Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's February 10th, 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here today. It's also a pleasure to have my guest here today, the returning Janet Godwin, the CEO of ACT. And we're going to talk about equity and with ACT, equity, education, K-12, and the workforce ecosystem. Okay, and they do a lot of work with workforce as well as K-12, and it's going to be really interesting to talk to Janet and find out, put that all into perspective, as well as their incredible equity work. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. You probably all know that already. And please go over there. If you haven't joined with us, please do so. It's free to educators. Our magazine is over there, an online journal. Brand new issue, really a good one of Equity in Access. You can just click right through, read, enjoy it, share it with your friends. All our podcasts are over there as well. Again, it's ace-ed.org, and we'd really appreciate you going over there, finding out what we do, and joining with us. It'd be just great. All right, I'm going to bring Janet on now. There she is. Janet, how are you? It's Larry here.
I'm good, Larry. Nice to see you or talk with you again.
It's good to have you back here. I got to tell you, I have a funny question to start off our little conversation here. Are you ready? This is something I keep meaning to ask you or Christina. I think it's going to be fairly easy for you to answer. You don't know what's coming.
Okay.
Everybody calls it ACT. ACT, right? That's your company.
Correct.
You're the CEO.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But there's no period between the A, the C, and the T. Okay, no periods. And do you guys say ACT or do you say ACT? And how come there's no periods between the three? There you go. That's question one.
Great question, Larry. Luckily, I've been at ACT for a long time and know the history. We used to be called the American College Testing Program, all spelled out. And over the years, as we expanded our offerings beyond just the ACT test, we decided to call ourselves just ACT. And while it still stands for American College Testing,
right,
because we have a broader set of services, we just call it ACT. And internally, we have over the years called ourselves ACT, but we've been trying to break ourselves of that habit for a number of years, and we just call ourselves ACT. That's it.
The next question, why don't you put a period between the A and the C and the T, periods?
It's because we're bigger than just the American College Testing. We're broader than that. We believe more services than just the testing services, and so we don't want to call reference necessarily to that acronym, and we want to be known as ACT.
ACT. Okay, good. And you know that question has been driving me crazy. And I work with you guys a lot, and I always forget to ask. I forgot to ask you last time, and I work with Christina all the time, and I keep forgetting to ask her. So thank you, Janet. I really appreciate that. Okay.
I'm glad you could clear that up. That's great.
So you did. You really helped me. Are you in Iowa today?
I am. Iowa City.
How's the weather?
It's pretty brutal. It's maybe 0 degrees outside, and we've got about, 15 inches of snow on the ground. And but you know what? That's kind of typical Iowa winter. We have this cold snap every year, so we just live through it and look forward to spring.
Are you expecting a blizzard? I live in Maine, so, I'm used to winter, but are you expecting a blizzard?
We've got some snow coming this week, but I don't think a blizzard, nothing terrible. We've had some pretty bad weather the last couple of weeks, but I think we may be working our way out of it.
You need a little respite, okay? We had a weird one yesterday.
Yeah.
It just started to snow lightly. Nobody was expecting it, and it just snowed all day. So we wound up with an extra 4 inches of snow nobody was expecting all day. It was typical Maine, typical Iowa.
Yep.
What can I tell you? I did a couple of shows yesterday with folks in California. They were just laughing about it. They couldn't believe it. What can I tell you? All right, the whole different
planet
out there.
It makes us hardy and strong.
Use my line, Janet. Cold preserves and heat rots. That's what I always tell my friends in Florida.
Okay. That's great.
Now, you ask me why I live here. I tell them, I give them that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, ACT, and it's such a good company. And I wrote this in my little description here of the show. too many people, and this is one of the things we're trying to overcome. Think of ACT, the test comes to mind. Boom, the test. Okay?
Right.
But you guys are so much wider than that and so much deeper than that. Okay? And just as CEO, why don't you just go with that sentence and just explain all the wonderful things you do, like your center on equity, which really into the equity question, literally pre-K through 20. Okay, and just talk about all the wonderful things and the
sure.
directions, the priorities, so to speak, for the company in 2021.
Yeah, that's a great set of questions, Larry. Thank you for that. And
You're welcome.
I'm just going to start by saying, you know, this is an incredible time that we're living through right now. This morning watched the video that was played in the Senate impeachment matter yesterday, and I couldn't believe
I had to turn it off.
What I was watching in terms of our nation, and it made me think, you know, what we need to do better in our nation. And my next thought was, how can ACT help our nation start recovering from what we've been living through? And not just for this last year, but we've been living through educational barriers, systemic barriers for many parts of our population. And so you mentioned our Center for Equity and Learning, Larry, and that's something that is a big priority for us in 2021. Our center has been with us for many years, but we're in the process of really rejuvenating and strengthening, I'll say, our focus through the center on everything around access and equity. And under the leadership of Tina Gridiron, we are partnering. We are focusing on our fee waiver program, making sure that any student who is looking to help prepare for college and post-high school work, that they can access the ACT without cost. We're here to ensure that everything that we do has an equity lens, to make sure that students of color, low-income students, first-generation students are not impacted disproportionately by our educational system. And we're doing everything we can through disaggregating data, doing research. I mentioned our fee waiver program. All of those things are top of mind for us, because equity really is the foundation of our organization. Our founder, E.F. Lindquist, back in the late 50s, he founded ACT on the premise that we're here to open doors. We're here to create opportunity for students, not by necessarily going to elite schools, but by getting a good college education at regional colleges, at community colleges. That pathway to education after high school is so critically important, and ACT, we believe, by helping students find those pathways, we're going to help our nation get better. And by focusing on traditionally underserved students, students who have faced systemic barriers in their worlds, we can help our nation get better. So that's a big priority for us in 2021. And another big priority for us is just to create opportunities for students to get data to help them plan. And with that is our testing program. Since the pandemic hit, we've tested over 1 million students. We tested over 200,000 just this last Saturday. We're working to help students get the information they need to understand how am I doing in my preparation for work after high school and my educational pathways after high school, and helping educators see how students are doing as well, because our learning
thank you for
so
reminding
during
everybody
the
of
pandemic.
That.
It's been so disrupted, and people need data to understand where
that's
they are
right.
individually, where their classes are, and just to help people find their paths, you know, after high school. And we're just really, really dedicated to that, and that's a big priority for us. And one last thing I'll note in terms of a priority is just always trying to find ways to get better to serve our students. We know you know, we need to continue to make things easier for students. We need to continue to make things easier for educators. And so we're doubling down on improving and highlighting customer experience, making sure that interacting with ACT is as easy and helpful as possible.
And I know you do that. I just have to comment on a couple of things. First of all, you mentioned Tina Gridiron, okay, your president.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina is highlighted in our magazine this month. Okay.
That's fantastic.
If you go over to I'll just tell you again, ace-ed.org, and click on the magazine cover icon. There's a big article in there from Tina. Okay, that's good. And the other thing I must mention is the January 6th events. We're right just starting to put this show into perspective, the second day, so to speak, of the second impeachment of ex-President Trump. And, you know, when you look at that video, it is visceral. And it is a cathartic event, okay, where it's just enough, okay. That just pushed us. That's over the line, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's only so much. And now it helps us all, I think, to see where the worst of it, and we can get better from here.
Yeah.
Okay. And
exactly.
That's just it's an important. To keep watching that video and not the censored easygoing, but to remember that a police officer was killed by these people and people waving and hitting other people with American flags, hitting police officers with American flags. Okay, it's beyond comprehension, okay, yeah. As they invaded the Capitol building. So, you know, it's a cathartic event, and that's hopefully is the worst of it, and we go get better from here. So I love the way you position that. And all the sort of things you're doing. I want to ask you a question. This is probably on a lot of people's minds, Janet. And, you know, kids in a – I'll say it this way. Kids in a very wealthy suburban district are educated K-12 one way, where kids in a big city, urban district, okay, don't get the same resources in schools. Yet ACT has to create a test that tests them all, and I know you guys believe in equity so much. How do you balance those two things as you test American school children?
We balance it by providing as many resources as we possibly can to help students and educators find that pathway through high school and into college, whether a student is in, like you said, an elite prep school or an underfunded public school in a rural setting or an urban setting. And our goal is to provide educational resources for educators, for counselors, for parents and students. Our goal is to ensure that students, wherever they may be going to high school, have an opportunity to take the ACT. That's why this last weekend we tested in over 3,000 test centers across the country. Equity and access is really, really important to us. And I mentioned our fee waiver program. But as we think about plans for the future, Larry, I can't really talk about it this morning, but we're working on so many things to really strengthen those resources for educators, for students, to help them plan what classes they take in high school, to plan, you know, what courses that might lead them to community college, to, you know, credentialing program after high school. The goal is to help students understand, you know, there are choices that they can make. There are choices they can make to prepare themselves for life and education and work after high school so they can have a well-paying job, they can contribute to our society, they can raise their children and do it in a way that brings pride and respect and, you know, their contributions to our country. And our goal is to provide those resources for, as I said, parents, students, educators, counselors, finding a path. It's hard. It's hard to find that path. It's confusing.
Hard.
There's a lot of information out there. And if you don't have that experience in your own family to help guide you, we believe our role is to help provide those resources. Every student has the information they need to find their personalized path to success after high school, and we're really doubling down on that. And another thing you mentioned in your setup around stuff that we do that's beyond just the ACT test, and I really want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about our WorkCube program. Do you want to start it, or can I just go?
Go for it. Say one thing. You know, you said, and this is a key thing, okay, the whole purpose of your company, okay, and this is why it was created, as ACT, was to open doors, all right? To open doors, not shut them, okay? But give people the opportunity to prove themselves worthy, so to speak, of a college education, okay? And it's not for everybody, okay? And as you've always believed that, and now, and again, with all the events of the past couple of years, et cetera, you really are, and I know you guys, you're doubling down on that, to open up doors for people and providing, and I mean this, the resources that that kids and teachers need to get these kids moving forward, okay? And it's for everybody, all right? And I really congratulate you on that. And, again, your Center on Equity and Learning is really just doing a great job out there. It really is. So I want to just say that to you. And by the way, you said it's really a hard job, okay? I'll use the JFK line. We don't do it because it's easy. You do it because it's hard, okay? And you make it work. You know, it's that simple. Yeah. And now, that's done with my little rant. Congratulations on everything you do. Workforce, go. You're on.
It's
Janet
wonderful.
Goodwin, everybody.
Thank you.
God
thank
with
you.
Everybody. You're welcome.
Thank you, Larry, for the comment on the center and for Gina, too, in particular, you're highlighting that. So workforce is so incredibly important. Again, back to how can we help this nation heal and get better going forward. Part of it is around jobs. The jobs numbers that came out last Friday showed that we gained 49,000 jobs, but there's still 10 million people out of work, or 10 million, we're still down 10 million jobs since the pandemic began. And we know, too, from the data that we're seeing women of color being disproportionately impacted through the job loss that occurred through the pandemic. And so we believe that helping to upskill, reskill, help people find new jobs as they've lost them in this pandemic, we believe that our WorkKeys programs and there are a number of them can help with that. We have our WorkKeys assessments, which are foundational career readiness assessments, a way to help individuals demonstrate what they know so they can be competitive in the workforce, so they can show up and compete for a job and get that job. We also have a program I'm very, very proud of. We call it Work Ready Communities. And this is a way that we go into a community with support from K-12 education, higher ed, local businesses. The business community is very, very engaged, and we work in that community. We use WorkKeys, but we use it to build skills that are needed for the jobs that are in that region. And it's a way to help a local economy, you know, based on the jobs that they have, build up and develop the talent in their own local community to get those jobs. And so it's been incredibly successful for us and successful for the communities that are using this and have implemented this program. And we believe, especially now in where we are economically and the job loss from the pandemic, that work-ready communities is something that really can be an important program for many communities around the country.
Please.
So we'll be really, really be pushing on that a great deal. And so, again, the ACT test has sort of traditionally been that pathway to college.
Yeah.
But our
WorkKeys
assessments are really, our goal is to create a pathway to work. And it's all you said a little bit ago, you know, college is not for everyone. And it's
exactly.
a pathway for many. Community college is a wonderful pathway for many, and community college to work, community college to higher ed from a transition, a transfer perspective, but also high school to work. And we want to be able to help, again, help students find
Absolutely.
Those pathways, show the credentials and show how they've been prepared for being a great employee in companies across our country. So we're really excited about that, and we think that there's a bigger need now, maybe than ever, for our WorkKeys and WorkReady Communities programs.
I think that's great. How does it work? And you got me thinking. I mean, it's really just so cool. Okay, and I think I'm stating the obvious. For years, we've been testing kids, oh, do you want to go to college, okay, and you take an ACT test, and maybe you get into college, okay? But the communities need workers. Pete, not everybody's going to go to college. I mean, we're agreeing on this, all right? And where's the assessment, okay, which you've created, that allows employers to see that these people are ready to take a job? How does the Work Ready Community Program work? I just love that, where it just takes into account for everybody. I just think it's incredible. Talk to me about this. I love this. Go into more detail. How's it work?
Yeah, it's
I love it. We don't do it. It's so obvious, and it hasn't been done. Okay, it's the most obvious thing in the world. So congratulations, you know, for making it obvious.
It takes a lot of collaboration in a local community for work-ready communities to work. So I mentioned K-12 needs to be a partner at the table.
Yep.
Higher ed needs to be a partner at the table. Community college, four-year The business community critically needs to be at the table, because the business community is saying, these are the jobs that I have, or these are the jobs that I will need as,
yes,
you know, their businesses are evolving. So let's work together to create, you know, the courses in high school, the courses in post-secondary venues, so that we're training and developing the skills that my business, my industry is going to need today and in the future. The Workies assessments are a critical component as we identify the skills that a certain job requires, for example. We can determine based on the requirements of the job sort of what the scores, if you will, on Workies would be required to demonstrate that a student is ready for a particular job. And so it really is a holistic system around dialing in on what are the jobs of today and of the future, and building that whole educational process to build the skills that that community and that region needs. And the assessment part in there is to demonstrate that students are ready. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes that community partnership across all those stakeholders. And so it really does take the commitment and the vision of community leaders. And that's what we've seen the Work Ready Community program be so successful, when you have visionary leaders in a community who are all in for helping their region or their community grow, and grow through good, high-paying jobs. This is where the magic happens. And I just want to commend all of the communities across the country that have implemented this program, because they are doing this to help not just their community grow, but the individuals in the community grow. It's really, really good. And we're excited about it. We want to be able to, you know, to grow this and help more communities around the country really invest in their talent and really invest in their economic health. So it's a really, really neat program. Thanks for asking about it, Larry.
Oh my God, it's incredible. I didn't know you guys did this. I think it's incredible. And here's the chicken and egg question. Okay, where do you start? Do you start with the local industry? Do you start with the local chamber of commerce? Do you start with K-12, who then goes after what the local industry needs? Where does it start? It's chicken and egg, I know that. But let's go. What have you discovered?
It's great. It actually can start in multiple places. Sometimes you see it at state level, saying we need that. Certain areas might need, you know, at the local level. The entree can vary based on the person who is deciding we really need to focus on that. So it could be state level governor, legislators. It could be local businesses that are saying, I need to find a way to cultivate talent locally to fuel my business. And so it really can start in multiple ways, and our goal is to support and, you know, listen, consult, advise, work with the community to build up this program so that the implementation is strong, that partnership is there. And then, you know, we measure results over time, and the results are there. When communities implement this program, I mean, the results are absolutely there, and we've got lots of information to share on that as well. But it can start in multiple ways, and we're here to help whoever comes to us with their questions, and we're here to consult and help a community get this program up and going.
And this is going to be another funny question. When should that start? I'm thinking I'll just use it. It's the first one that comes to mind, like Alabama. I know there's a number of auto plants down there, okay? And that has high-tech work to build cars, okay? And I can't remember which exactly ones there are, but I know a lot of the auto plants are moving down there. North Carolina is probably another good example, okay? We know they are there, and we know those plants and that workforce is thriving. So when in the education spectrum, should educators, the K-12 people, start pointing kids, if they want to go in that direction, into that direction? Is it in middle school? Is it in elementary? What are you finding? When does that move start to go? And, you know, I have to say something. We've all been talking about the phrase college and career ready. We've been talking about that for the last zillion years, and I never liked that phrase. Because to me, it's redundant. You don't need the word college in there. If you go to college, you're going to be career ready, okay? But there are other ways to become career ready. The college part is a redundant part, okay? So if we want kids to be career ready. I'm just going to use again Alabama as an example. Okay, in Alabama, where there are a lot of, I'll call them STEM jobs, okay, putting together automobiles. When do we start? When do we get the kids in motion for that? When do we start making those choices? That's
it's
a tough
really
question.
By the way,
that is a tough
yeah.
question. As I'm asking it, it's really a tough question.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as early as junior high, you know, 7th, 8th grade.
That's what I was thinking,
I think students, and I can speak for my son, I have a 15-year-old, you know, in junior high, still learning lots of foundational skills through their academic, you know, education opportunities. But even in junior high, starting to think about what interests me. So my student, I will just tell you, is not super into English and reading, but he likes applied technology. He had a class in junior high called applied tech. He loved it. And so in junior high, starting to get a sense of what students are interested in and what they're passionate about and what they want to spend time on because they like it. And so based on students' interests in as early as junior high, starting to think about what classes might be interesting that they can take in junior high and into high school. And, if students are showing an interest in the host of kinds of jobs that are available in manufacturing, car manufacturing, there's lots of different pathways, but helping students identify what are their interests, what are they good at, what do they want to spend their time doing, and then helping them decide, okay, these are great classes for me, or this might be a great summer job for me to have, what are the things that are going to help you be ready after high school? And then in high school, you know, when students are showing those interests, providing opportunities for curriculum around career tech education, CTE, is really important. And to the point, not every student is going to or wants to go to a four-year school. Some students
That's
are
right.
more interested in career tech, which may be through a community college pathway, could be pathways through businesses that offer training programs themselves. And so finding those interests of students as early as junior high, helping them know what kinds of classes to take to further their interest, and then providing coursework that really does amplify those kind of career tech skills that are necessary in so many jobs out in our world right now. So I think it's helping students find their interests and help them find the pathways so that after high school they are as successful as they possibly can be.
And we're talking to mostly educators, okay, here today. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this is accurate, but you once, I think it would be wise, should school districts be getting in touch with ACT about this? They can call you guys directly, right?
Absolutely. They can. There's information on our website about WorkEase, Work Ready Communities. If educators have questions and would like to learn more, please just go to our website and we will, we've got contact forms, you know, we'll get right back
Great.
To you and answer any questions that you have.
Yeah, because this is really key stuff. And do you see your role, Janet, not yours as CEO, but the company role, as helping school districts and the community assess the student as they move towards the workplace? Is that the role that you see yourself? That's where it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the preparation that can be demonstrated through taking an assessment. So, you know, how am I doing in terms of being prepared? How am I doing in terms of being ready for college, community college, work? And that's the goal, is to provide good, actionable information, you know, data. Objective information that students can use, their parents can use, educators can use, employers can use. It takes some of the mystery out of the process, and it helps students know where they need to continue to develop and grow. It helps them demonstrate what they have mastered and what they have prepared for and their readiness. It's really, really, we feel it's incredibly important that objective data to help guide students' decisions. That is probably at the heart of what we do and the resources around that, right? It's not just the assessments, what classes you take. It's what But what jobs you take, is even as a high school student, it's you know, it's you know, what extracurriculars you participate in as a high school student. So all, you know, how to apply to college, how to apply to get financial aid, how to navigate the system is something that we feel really keen about, that providing those educational resources. And then the assessment data is an indicator of, in a point of time, and how ready am I, and what do I need to do next?
Boy, it's just terrific. This is a great idea. To me, it boils down to, I have to say this because this is where I center kind of, but it boils down on equity. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You're saying to every kid, look, you're you. Okay, let's get you the equal chance to have a very successful life. Okay, not
yes.
by our standards, but by your standards, by your community standards, I might add. Okay, and that's a very different way to look at things, and it's a healthy way to look at things. Okay, and I think it's just terrific what you're doing. And again, I want to say your ACT Center on Equity and Learning. I mean, this is just great work you guys do, and your workplace stuff is just absolutely excellent. This is great. Janet, thanks a million. As always, enlightening, I have to say. Enlightening. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Larry. Really appreciate the opportunity to chat this morning. Really enjoyed it.
Well, I always love having you on the show, and you stay warm out there in that 0-degree weather in Iowa, okay? And stay
and
safe
stay
from
warm
the,
in Maine.
From, thank you. We'll both stay safe from the pandemic, okay? Thank you, Johnny.
Yes.
Godwin. I always want to say Goodwin.
Take care.
Does everybody else do that to you? Am I the
everyone
only one?
Calls me Goodwin. No, everyone.
Yeah.
It's fine. I answer to both. It's just fine.
It's a Godwin. But Janet Godwin,
yeah.
Everybody. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate this. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Larry. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Janet Godwin, everybody. You are compelled to say Goodwin for some reason. Oh, Janet Godwin, who's the CEO of ACT and a lovely, lovely person and a returning guest. And we're thrilled to have her here and take time out of a busy CEO day to visit with us and get across all these great things that the company's doing. I love it. Okay. And Tina Gridiron's in our issue of the magazine up at ace-head.org. Okay. The new issue that's up there, just click through on the magazine icon. Okay. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Please go over there. Join with us for equity. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Everybody stay safe. I'll talk to you later.